Hi, everybody. It's Mary Lou Tyler. This week's guest is none other than Trish Bertuzzi. She's the founder and CEO of The Bridge Group. She's been around for a while, just like I have, and she also is the author of The Sales Development Playbook that was written a couple of years after Predictable Revenue was written in 2011. I've been following her work for some time, and I saw a blog post on LinkedIn where she referred to a term called team selling. That got me super interested as a lifelong learner and also being in sales for now 30 some odd years. I had heard that term when I originally worked back in 1981 at Xerox. And so I was curious what Trish had to say about this topic. This week's episode is giving us some insight into how she's reframing the term team selling, some options you may want to consider, and also letting you know that she's going down this rabbit hole of learning about how to apply this in today's selling environment. So I felt it was really important that you listened in on this particular podcast, knowing that it's bubbling up, it's percolating. It's not something that we've put into action or try to scale or things like that, but it's allowing us to think outside that box of the traditional transactional assembly line type of selling where we have people doing business development who hand off opportunities to quota carrying or field salespeople, whatever you want to call them, direct sales. It's giving you another idea of how to look at this. So please take a listen this week and let Trish know. She's on LinkedIn all the time. She'd love to connect with you and find out your experiences of playing around with these configurations for sales and what's working and not for you. In a moment, Trish.
Thank you. Team selling has been around forever. Yeah. I think it was the early 90s I was in a team selling role. And when I use the term team selling, I don't mean a pod. Okay. I have to be honest, not a fan of pods. And I have the research to show pods really don't add much more value. So to me, they're a lot of work and they don't really get you that much more. Having said that, when I started talking about team selling, I got a lot of comments on LinkedIn. So I picked, I don't know, 7 or 8 people. And I said, all right, well, talk to me about your experiences. And I think much as I would love there to be one definition of it, or one potential implementation, there could be multiple. So let's take them one at a time.
Okay.
My vision first, because of course I'm always first. When I talk about team selling, I don't mean the SDR. Okay. I mean team selling.
Okay.
Like partnering an inside rep and a field rep is ridiculous because they're both virtual now, but I don't know how else to articulate it. But partnering two sellers in a geo or territory or however it's structured with shared goals and objectives. Like, here's your number, team. You need to go make that number.
Right.
But also providing them with some level of corporate focus. For instance, lots of people have a solution that can be sold to many different tiers of companies. Right. So your ASP for under 10,000 employees is 40,000, and your ASP for over 10,000 employees is 250,000.
Okay.
Well, right?
Right.
Look at a territory, tier it out, and say to the, and I'm going to use the term field seller for lack of a better term, you're responsible for going after employee count 10,000 and above, because we're making the assumption that there's going to be bigger deals. An inside sales rep, you're responsible for going after 10,000 and below because we assume it's going to be a lower ASP.
Okay.
Great. But in reality, what happens is you can be going after that smaller account and say, whoa, I can make this deal huge. And if you're not in a team selling model, your inside salesperson is going to try to tackle that themselves. And are they the best person to do that alone? Probably not.
Right.
In this version of team selling, they bring in their field partner to help. No harm, no foul. Two resources better than one.
Right.
Right sales price. You get where I'm going.
Yeah.
Flip side of the coin. The field seller is in an employee 10,000 and above account. They're never going to spend more than 40,000. Well, rather than chase it when he could be chasing bigger deals, he gives it to his partner. partner works it, they work it as a team, bingity bangity boom, it's a thing of beauty. So it's about, in that version, it's about applying the right resource to the right sales process.
Okay.
You know, how does the SDR fit into it? All depends. It's not what I was talking about when I was talking about team selling, but yeah, they have shared goals and objectives. Now,
well, the way I look at this too is when you have it, again, SDR, sales development, business development, account development, whatever it is, there seemingly are still those people who like to get conversations started and warmed up. And there are those people who like to take those warm conversations and get them further into the pipeline. Now, that's similar to that pod concept that we were talking about. But what also intrigues me about what you're talking about, what I'm running into now, because I'm in the field right now working for a client full-time in Denmark, mm-hmm. we have an existing client base. There are areas where we can expand either usage or penetration within the base itself in that client. Then there's this net new, whether it could be new money centers or new logos that we're also targeted with within that bubble, that same team. And so we see the combination of skill set that maybe the account or business developer is better at, that, you know, endurance muscle of warming people up, but they can also take care of the base if they're knowledgeable enough. So we're looking for people who are not only good muscle, endurance muscle for that workflow and habit of connecting, but also they have to be well-versed in the product and services that we're selling in order to be able to expand and increase the penetration and usage. And that's what I'm seeing now as part of this team, what we call a team.
Yeah, so that's more of a hybrid role, right, okay. than a traditional SDR role.
Yeah.
The challenge is they're going to fall back on their comfort level. Like, if I'm an SDR and I am not comfortable getting into negotiation, objection handling, competitive positioning, delivering pricing, I'm just going to go have my little initial conversations. Or if I think I'm a hotshot, and I think I can close a lot of deals, I'm not going to prospect. I'm going to chase every deal, crappy or not, and try to close it because that's my preference. So I like hybrid roles. They just really have to pay attention to them to make sure, you know, that they're well managed. But I think that potentially is the next evolution of what an SDR, ADR, BDR could be. Mm-hmm. Just has to be really well managed.
Well, yeah, and the comp plans. We have the wildest comp plan now that we're working on. It's not in stone yet, but we're trying to get an understanding of client value. For example, that's not only average deal size, it's the market share we're trying to go after to build our book. So we're trying to add in a point system where if you're in this customer base with this customer type, then you're going to get more points as we progress it into the funnel than if you go after the kind of bread and butter, we know we can close them kind of accounts, because we're looking to open up our market share. So I'm seeing that this role and these combination of skill sets is ebbing and flowing. And it's kind of interesting to see, it's not as segmented as it used to be. That's for sure. And I'm actually getting people who were account executives who want to come and do this thing, this what we're calling a hybrid, like you said, that they can take it not only to qualified opportunity, which is the old fashioned model, but they march into the funnel, maybe 25, 35, 50% probability, but still can't do the closing, still needs the buddy to come in, negotiate contracts, look at that whole purchasing side of things. So I was real, when you said that about team, I'm just trying to figure out, we can't really delineate a marker that says you go up to here and then someone else takes it. You're saying is depending on the deal drives the resources.
I couldn't have said that better myself.
Okay.
The deal dictates the sales resource applied to the deal.
Got it.
Yep.
How does one balance what those deals look like in that territory? Is that, are you saying that these people are now all of a sudden account planners and they actually look at their territory and try to break it up into a manageable piece? Or how would I go about beginning to look into this as an option for my team?
So, I mean, it has to be a corporate strategy. So it's not that the team itself is identifying tier one and two accounts. That has to be done at the corporate level through sales and marketing, developing their ideal customer profile, tiering people as appropriate, tiering, giving point systems. I like that idea, actually. Whatever the case may be, it's not something the team has to figure out. Where team selling will go awry, like if you have 10 teams in your company, 10 team selling teams, and they have 10 different strategies going, you're
screwed.
It has to be a corporate strategy that you're executing.
Right.
And, you know, the beauty of inside sales is it doesn't have to be one-to-one. You can have a 1-to-2 ratio, like with one inside seller focused on those accounts, with two senior sellers focused on the rest. It's still shared goals and objectives with a buffer if you have multiple.
Yeah. And even subject matter experts, we're finding we have a clinical side of life, and then we have a research side of life in my current world. And we're awaiting now FDA approval for the clinical in the United States. So we're grabbing those resources and starting to filter in to the America's side of life. And with COVID now, we don't have to worry about traveling, where everybody's figuring out how to virtually support one another. So all of a sudden, we feel like we have this bigger team. When we have the same team all the way around, but it's just now that people are not so focused on certain geographies. They're looking at subject matter in order to organize.
Okay. Different version of team selling. Right.
Oh my gosh, you better write a book on this then, because
never writing a book again. Never writing a book again. Maybe I'll write an ebook. So different version of team selling. So I talked to some companies that are doing really interesting things. They're not calling them pods. They are partnering sellers with domain experts.
Okay.
Subject matter experts, technical experts, with shared, everybody gets paid off revenue though. Right?
Yeah, that's how we're organized. We're organized by revenue.
I love that. So everyone gets paid off revenue. And in one of my interviews, I actually think it was yesterday, but he said I can't say who he is yet. But anyway, his model, listen to this, listen to how brilliant this is. Brilliant. He says, if you're selling to large companies and you're selling to the head of HR, chief people officer, you know, everybody wants to be chief,
right?
Whatever, chief people officer, whatever. The best thing you could ever do would be to hire someone that used to have that role. Like pay them hundreds of thousands of dollars to not just be your domain expert, to work with marketing and say, that messaging would never have worked with me. Here's why. To work with your product team and go, yeah, that's neither a bell nor a whistle. That's nothing. Like don't waste your time developing that. To work with the executive team to make sure that you're, and the content team to make sure you're on top of trends. Oh my God. Everyone selling into the enterprise should do that.
Like, yeah.
Why don't we do that? I don't know.
We used to do that back in the days of Xerox selling. I mean, I'm dating myself to 1985, but I mean, that's how we learned. That is the book, is the SMEs were the ones who went out, and we were face to face back then. We didn't have internet yet. and that's the way we did it. So I'm happy to hear that these things are starting to come around.
But just so to make sure that I articulate it clearly, this very senior resource doesn't necessarily engage with customers.
Correct.
But it engages within the organization to make sure the organization is current on on what's going on. Yeah.
Yeah. It, in our world right now, it would be like people we bring in from the industry who were pathologists or scientists who actually are doing the workflow, know the challenges, know the unwanted outcomes, know the risks. And we're trying to mitigate those risks by having those people come and tell us, don't bother wasting your time here because this is where the real issues are.
Yeah.
But we have them actually working with our product people even.
Yeah.
Not just marketing and sales, but product to make sure that our roadmap is such that we're meeting the needs beyond the expectations. So we're not the me too company.
Yeah. So here's what I want to make sure people understand. Like, I'm not, you know, running around saying you have to have SDRs, they have to be role specialized, you know, you have to, I think, nor do I go, you know, I don't look at everyone and go, pod. You really have to understand your own business and develop the sales strategy that makes sense for you. And one of the things that's remained consistent over the last few months when I've talked to buyers, and I probably do 3 or 4 sales calls a day, and that's how I learned so much from the actual practitioners. Mm-hmm. But one of the things they're telling me is we need to go upstream. Like, they always needed to go upstream, but they could have lived off SMB. Well, SMB got decimated by COVID, right? Decimated by COVID. Mid-market's struggling. So everybody wants to go up to the enterprise. Well, guess what? That is a whole different way to sell. Mm-hmm. So what I'm saying to these people is, do not take what you were doing in the SMB and mid-market and slap dab it over here. It's a whole other ballgame.
Right.
You need to make your way through this pivot.
Yeah. And I came the other way. I came from large business sales. I had 6 clients with a $2 million quota back in 1987 and 6. So that's large accounts, trying to go from that to medium size and then now to, then to small. And I understand exactly what you're saying. The rules of engagement are very different between each of these levels. In fact, Predictable Revenue was written as a book that talked about Salesforce when it was selling to mom and pop flower shops and how they tried to move up market. That whole book was the case study of what do we do to move up market. And it's amazing. This is like a continual evolution. Just don't get
evolve or die.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly.
Yep.
Exactly. So let's get back to the team itself. You said the deals and the market drive the design.
One scenario. Okay.
Yeah.
I'm experimenting with different scenarios. So that was one scenario.
Okay.
Let the account dictate the sales resource that is used. Okay. Another scenario is the one we just talked about with partnering domain experts, technical experts, having a real different type of selling experience where maybe the seller is more an orchestra leader until he's really needed than anything else. There's that. Right. Then there's also team selling for land and expand. Like, you know, everyone says they do that really well. I haven't seen a lot of people do that really well because they're still handing the baton over.
Right.
Like, I know we have hunters and farmers, but why do we build a big wall between them? Why can't we have hunters and farmers in the same territory with shared goals and objectives?
Yeah.
You know,
well,
is it time
to that was the concept of the pod was supposed to be to put everybody in one big little umbrella underneath one umbrella. And once an account was sold, so the AE or sales developer, whatever you want, the field person, as you call them, they were supposed to do the net new money centers, new logos. And then once it was closed, they'd hand it off to the account manager types, and they were usage and expansion, and trying to build out loyalty. That was their main role, is we can't afford to lose people now that we've got them under our fold. But in practice, it's very difficult.
It's a lot harder. Yeah, it's a lot harder. Well, yeah. I mean, I think once again, you have to also think through who am I landing and how far am I expanding?
Right.
You know?
The tiers of accounts should help drive, is this a multi-global, branch-oriented type of account, or is there one instance of it?
Right.
What does my account hierarchy look like?
Yes.
You can involve a lot with the list and setting up the actual map of, for team selling as an example. Do you get involved with how you orchestrate the map of accounts and whether or not there are multiple business centers and all of that?
So I am early in my journey of bringing back team selling. I will tell you that the keys to the kingdom in that mapping is great data.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, who has it? Nobody, right?
I know.
So I always say to people, the number one lever you can pull for productivity and revenue is data. Invest your money there. Give up headcount for data. And everyone's like, oh, it's so boring. I'm like, so necessary, though.
Oh my gosh, we all live by your annual reports, which are data-driven insights that allow us to execute with more quality and better conversion rate.
By the way, the report should be coming out hopefully in 30 days. So yeah, so it just depends. It depends on what I'm not like, I don't profess, when I say I mean the Bridge Group. We don't profess to be data analysts. I mean, Matt's a total geek, but that's a whole separate issue. He's geeking on our reports, but, bringing in real data analysts to make sure you have accurate data and that you're analyzing it correctly. I think that's a wonderful investment that more companies should definitely make.
Yeah. And now with the systems all disparate, you might have a outbound touch system that you're using for this cadence and this touch, multi-touch, multi-channel. And then you have an inbound system that you're collecting people who you're attracting. And then you have the CRM, which is like the mothership database thing. So yeah, there are a lot of systems now you also need to connect up, which is another issue with data, is trying to get a full report of the entire pipeline.
Well, that's why I think RevOps is like one of the hottest jobs there is now, right?
Yeah.
Like a couple of years ago, marketing ops was the hottest job. Well, now it's RevOps, the hottest job, because of these issues.
Right.
More people are saying, I'm looking for a RevOps person. Well, I think you have to grow your own to some extent because there aren't that many great ones out there. But yeah, hot job.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah. So we got the two models. What else have you discovered in your journey of talking to a ton of people about this? Any other insights that you want to share with us?
Yeah, people are struggling to pivot. They're like, oh, that sounds like a really good idea. I'm scared, So what we're saying to people is don't be scared. Pilot, iterate, pick up your whole strategy and move it over here. Pilots are a thing of beauty.
Yeah.
Absolute thing of beauty. And you don't pilot with your worst teams. You pilot with your best teams because they're the people who get it. So we're just starting to talk to people about piloting these things so we can collect some more data.
Some more intel. Yes, I'm a fan of ramping. Definitely a fan of proof of concept and then ramp. And scale based on that.
There you go.
Usually pick those areas of growth that if we need to go backwards, we're okay. And we save our prior environment in case we need to, like we had to do with COVID. We had the phone was our main source of reaching people. Overnight, it was gone. Overnight, we realized we
only
have brick and mortar numbers. We don't have direct information. No one's there.
But it's back. The phone is back for sure.
It's back. But you're right. I mean, finding a spot in your company where you think that this would work. We've seen the value of going, what I call going backwards to the old ways of selling, where we had a more value-driven, I guess, approach. And we took our time to build the relationship. And sometimes with the medium-sized businesses, relationships play a bigger part than the transactional, the smaller ones.
Well said. They do.
Yeah. And especially with this thing called lifetime value, the churn aspect of the medium-sized enterprises, it's devastating when you lose too many of those after all the work you've put in to get them.
Well, here's another benefit to team selling. So you and I are selling partners. We're selling some great accounts. We're cranking along. I leave. Not team selling, those relationships
gone.
What up? Right? Yeah. Continuity is another blessing with team selling.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And what about I know it's early on, but what about attrition?
Well, you're always going to have attrition. So that's not going to change. You're going to have attrition. You're going to have chemistry issues. I mean, there's going to be, I mean, we're talking humans interacting with humans. There's going to be a whole bunch of funky issues. So you're always going to address for that. But I actually wrote something that I firmly believe in 2014 about if you're doing something like this, you need to have ranger reps. And a ranger rep is someone you drop in when you have attrition. So your inside sales rep leaves and two field partners don't have anyone to partner with, drop in a ranger rep. Or a field person leaves, drop in a ranger rep. They are super senior. They love the challenge of jumping in with both feet. You pay them through the nose because they are worth their weight in gold. Why don't we all do this? I don't know.
Well, I think a lot of it is just our awareness around how these teams function effectively and efficiently. There's not a huge learning curve, but there's a learning curve here. If you weren't selling in the olden days, this is a precursor. I mean, you're making it better, obviously, but this was a precursor to how we used to do it.
For all you gray hairs out there, have been selling since the 80s. We're back!
That's awesome.
Yeah, it's just, I love the idea of leveraging technology where we can, which is, I don't know about you, if you remember those old SDRS books that we used to go in the library and find leads on these big old books. I mean, we can leverage technology to help us have better conversations. We can leverage it to find how we should organize these teams because we have better market research that's not $5 million to get anymore. Yep. You know, someone with a good query tool or a good use of the internet can find out a lot of information online that was never available.
Oh, my God. My first job in sales, I worked for IDC and I sold something called their computer installation data file. And people would buy these like reams of paper from me that told them where mainframes were installed so they could go sell them other stuff. And I'm like, I remember like going to shipping and just shipping reams of paper. And my CRM was a 3-ring binder. If I got
a Rolodex, literally.
Oh God. We're so old. We need to stop talking about this.
No, but the concepts are the same.
They are
like, best time to call used to be waiting in the parking lot with a cup of coffee for the CEO to arrive.
Yep.
But it's still the same concept of catching people when they're doing whatever they're doing, when they're in their office, when they would be more likely to answer the phone.
Yeah.
We have all the tools.
Yeah. I'm huge on mobile. I'm just like, there are some great data providers out there who are doing a great job with providing mobile numbers. And, you know, it's not before, but you call people on mobile and they're like, what? But now, it's our world, you know?
Yeah, totally. I have a client that I know now when I get these texts, I know to key in the STOP. And that means I get off their list. Remember, we used to have the do not call list and all. There's some standard codes that you can use in texting. I'm finding out too, you know, if you don't want unsolicited texts and things. But I think you're right. You know, it's all of these are attributes that you want to put into play when you're building your team. I mean, how do your people, your audience, like to communicate?
Yeah.
How can you best use each other's talents to advance things in the pipeline? Where should there be a DMARC or not? Should you tag team it? I mean, like we were talking before, I was a BDR, business development rep, for 3 AEs. Their average size was $250,000. Some people wanted a full qualification. Basically, you know, they wanted to just write the order. There were some people who said, I don't care, Mary Lou, find the money or not, I'll find it. I know how to build sense of urgency. And I think that's what you learn as being in a team, where each of you can rise to the occasion and handle certain parts of the sale instead of it being so rigid the way it, predictable revenue was, where you hand it off and you're sayonara.
Yeah, but I think, you know, if I could say anything to your audience, it would be this. It's time to think differently.
Yeah.
Things are different. Like, you know, the world is a different place and it's not going back. So think differently about your model. Don't bring what you did at the last company forward to this company and think it's going to work. Don't go on to one of these sales communities and say, what should my sales strategy be? And 50 people who don't even ask you a question start telling you what your sales strategy should be. You right. really need to get together as a team and think it through. Like, mm-hmm. what is the best way? Here's the hardest question. This is the first question I ask people to answer, and they struggle with it. It is, where do you want your revenue to come from? And they're like, well, we're a horizontal plate. I'm like, wrong answer. Where do you want your revenue to come from? You keep asking yourself that question as an organization until you can answer it with incredible specificity. You have the answer, then go build your sales strategy.
I can relate to that so well. I have something called the revenue quadrant.
Yep.
And that thing is, are we in existing clients or new clients?
Yep.
And are we selling existing products or new products? Yep. There's four boxes that you fill in. So we ask, okay, for this fiscal year, what's the percentage? What's the splits of those four quadrants? And oh, by the way, what's the revenue we're trying to get in each of those four quadrants? And most of my clients don't know that answer.
It's hard. Well, I mean, obviously, you expressed it much more articulately than I did. But yes, I would agree with you. It's a hard question to answer, but you're going nowhere until you answer it.
And to your point, if you have been in business, you have the data that it can at least point you as a baseline. It may be completely wrong if you got crappy data.
Yep.
But it'll get you further than just guessing or gut. And I try to get people away from the gut and more to data driven, if I can. And Wonderful. It's amazing. Once we start executing, then everything starts to fall into place. Oh, we're 95% the base. Oh, okay. If we're 95% base and 5% net new market share growth, then that's a whole different style of person we really need. Mm-hmm. Right? But if we're 70% new, 30% existing, then we need some good persuasive folks in there who can build that sense of urgency. Why change? Why now? Why us? Mm-hmm. And that's a whole different setup. So yep. I love what you say. Where are you? Where are you on this map?
Yep. Yep.
Definitely. So what's next? Where do we go from here, Trish?
Oh, I don't know. I'm just waiting for it to be wine time. Where do we go from here? I don't know. I'm still exploring. I am going to share ideas on LinkedIn, which is my platform of choice, only because I get so much great feedback from there. So anyone who's interested in this topic, feel free to contribute. That is how I learn. I do not have all the answers, but I do have a lot of the questions.
Well, so. That's the beauty. You have a lot of the questions to get people to think and think outside the box, as they say. Kind of think about the new normal. What does that look like?
Yeah. What does it look like for you?
Yeah.
You know, for organizations.
What someone else tells you.
Yeah. So yeah, no frameworks. Don't take someone else's framework and slap it down on what you're doing. Custom. The more custom you get, the better off you're going to be.
Fun.
Yeah.
So where should we reach you? LinkedIn. The Bridge Group coming out with the report pretty soon, right?
Yeah, I hope so. We are, Matt, right? If you're listening. yeah, it should be coming out. LinkedIn's the best. I'm so easy to reach.
Yeah.
I really am.
It's nice. I mean, I really enjoy it. I don't get on there very often, but when I do, you're always front and center. It's always a good thing.
You always, well, so here's the thing. People are like, you're always on there. I'm like, no, I'm on there when I'm eating.
Yeah.
So if you see a post from me, I was eating.
Here we go. Best time to LinkedIn with Trish.
Yeah.
There you go.
Yeah.
Thank you so much for being a guest. It's been so great to talk to you. We haven't talked to each other forever.
No, always a pleasure. Always a pleasure. I think the last time we were together was a Dreamforce and you had a broken leg, maybe?
My knee, yes. Mm-hmm. I was in the cast and you were gracious and gave me a ride to the event.
You bought it.
Otherwise, I was on my crutches, and it was a nightmare.
Yeah. Oh God, yeah.
But it was fun.
I really enjoyed it. Not an event I missed. How about you?
I haven't been to anything lately.
Yeah, well, there's nothing to go to, but yeah, that's one that I'm not missing.
Yeah, no, me too. I mean, I'm pretty well spoken for the next few years with this company in Europe, yep. So.
Well, congratulations.
I'm trying to get them to go public, Danish public. So, which I know nothing about the Danish Stock Exchange. So, this will be interesting.
Well, you love a challenge. So, there you go.
Very good. Well, you take care and thank you so much for being a guest today.
My pleasure.
Bye now.
Bye.